There is a reason that the Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Amen? Just giving thanks to God is just getting at that, being thankful to Him. Knowing that there's something to be thankful for, you know. Bless people's hearts that don't understand, you know. I mean, there's some people that say, I just thank the Lord, and there's people that just scorn at that idea. You know, bless their hearts. We don't know. But we should never quit declaring and believing the greatness of the kingdom of God. I was thinking this morning about the guy that said to me, it's Jesus, you should give him a try. How foolish he felt saying it. You know, I mean, he obviously didn't think it was going to do any good. I'll guarantee you that the enemy had to have said, boy, that was a waste of voice. Because I know that even after I was saved, he said, I couldn't believe you got saved. But he was overcome by the Holy Spirit, and what came out of his mouth was what was in his heart. And when I said, what's with you? He said, it's Jesus. And, you know, I mean, we don't know. But the fruit of our lips giving thanks just needs to be a continually generated thing. Just because we have, and we have to keep, you know, the Bible says to keep that hope stirred up in us, because, wow, there's a lot of stuff that tries to crush our hope. There really is. But through their faith and patience, the Bible says we receive the promises, and we just continue to declare, and we need to keep at that. But more than anything, we need to keep at our walk with God. We need to press on. When Peter says, those who don't grow in these blessings are blind. You know, we can have a little faith. We can have fire insurance faith and be so blind to what God has. And there's a lot of people that are so blind to what God has. But in compassion, we need to keep revealing what God has. I mean, yes, I have the opportunity to meet with you folks and continue to try to stimulate your hearts and stimulate your minds to you know, keep pressing. And that's an opportunity, but it's also a mandate. Now, that's what Jesus, all the time he did, he just kept revealing the kingdom of God. Whether people were willing to grasp it and walk in it or not, he just kept revealing it. He just kept saying, listen, you know. I mean, he said to him, he said, listen, if you knew the Father, you'd know me. He would say to them, listen, you don't know what spirit you are. But he just kept doing what he saw the Father do and saying what he heard the Father say. He just kept going, and those that kept coming kept seeing, and when they would be blind, he just kept talking, even when they were blind, that maybe they would hear and then they would see. If we don't continue, if we don't believe, then we've hit a blind spot. Okay? Now, I have lots of pairs of these. And when I can't see something as well as I would like to, when I can't read something, if the light's too low, if the print's too small, I go find a pair. Now, there are times when I try to squint and try to get into better light, but sometimes they're just too small, and I say to myself, self, Why waste your time trying to see when you have the tools nearby that will help you see? When we can't see, we want to see, don't we? When the electricity goes off, we want to remember where the flashlight is. We want to light a candle. We want to see. We don't just sit down in the dark or begin to run as fast as we can to see what we can run into. Right? We know about wanting to see. And sometimes things come up and we can't see. Sometimes we've been going along and then the lights go off and it's like we can't see. And the enemy comes in and says, see? God, where is your God now? And at that moment, we have to turn on the light. Jesus. He is the light. Those who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Just a word of advice, if you're in some place that's full of stuff and the lights go off, sit down till you get your vision. You know? Enter into a place until you can see. And this is the thing with, you know, Peter said, listen, those that don't grow in the blessings are blind. We have to grow in to the promises of God. How many of you have learned something about God since you first came to know God? I hope all of you. You know? Believe me, I honestly do. I sit and I look at things like this and I go, God, am I preparing food that will draw them closer to you? I want people to know Him. I've shared often of one of my favorite things was when Vera said, you're right, we don't need you. The Holy Spirit is here when you're not here. I just began to cry. I didn't cry because, oh man, I'm not useful anymore. I cried because, praise the Lord, they've been getting what they're supposed to have because let those who teach know that they got greater responsibility. And so if I seem as though I repeat myself, if I seem as though I try to press on things, there's a purpose for it. Because if you know the truth will make you free. We have people here and there today, but what a wonderful small group. You know? We're one short of Jesus' first meeting when he only saw 10 of them there. One was gone and one wasn't there. But those people turned the world upside down because they believed. Not because they believed perfectly, but because they believed. And because they were willing to continue on, because they were willing to press in. Because they were willing to see. Because Peter didn't write this as one who, you know, just caught it out of the air. He said, when we don't continue in the blessings, we're blind. I've been there. Peter had been there, you know. James and John had been there. Paul had been there. I mean, we all come to blind spots, but we need to recognize that the blind spots are opportunities to see. There's nothing so exciting, I'm certain, for a person who is blind than to have their eyes restored. Blind Bartimaeus, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Jesus said, well, what do you want? He said, I want to see. Okay. Your faith has made you well. Oh, or a lame man who begins to walk. Wow! Nothing like a little jog after 38 years of being lame to put a little bounce in your step, a little shout in your voice. See, God's bigger and better than we know. No matter how much we know, we don't know much compared to what there is. And so we have to grow in that. We have to keep at it. We will keep at things that we see as worthwhile. Now, there's a lot of people, you know, thinking about the birth of Christ. And we are surrounded with people that fall into the categories of the people that were around them. There's some people just flat don't want to hear about God. They say he doesn't exist, but I can't understand why they hate someone who doesn't exist as much as they hate him. You know? But they just want him dead. They've been trying to get him dead for a long time. It was only a few years before I was saved that they started saying God was dead. And I thought, that's really amazing. Most people didn't even think he was alive. And about the same time people were saying God was dead, Oral Roberts was saying that Jesus was 400 feet tall. Or 900 feet tall. And people were mocking that. And Oral Roberts himself said, you know, I really shouldn't have tried to estimate it. I mean, how do you estimate 900 feet? I painted grain elevators all over the country. I cannot get those wind towers to be as tall as they say they are. I know they say they are, but they got to be adding the feet that are in the ground and the tips of the propellers to get them as high as they are. I mean, I have judged the height of things forever. And if they'd let me, I'd run a tape off that baby just to satisfy my own curiosity. How'd I get there? I don't know either. But anyway, you know, there are people that just don't want to believe. They just don't want to. And like the king, they want him dead. Oh, we got there because Oral Roberts said he shouldn't have estimated. And I can't estimate 900 feet or 400 feet. I'm pretty sharp on about 100 to 200. You know, I mean, there just are. And there are people like the people who you know, turned Joseph and Mary away, you know. They didn't have any idea what opportunity they had. They weren't being cruel. They weren't being unusual. They just were saying, I just don't have a place and I don't want some. Can you imagine if you're an innkeeper and you got somebody that's going to have a baby? What's that going to do to the rest of the people staying there when you got this somebody going, having a baby? And I don't know if they thought about that, but if you think about it, you know, people get on an airplane and somebody's got a little kid and the little kid's making noise and you know everybody's looking at the little kid making noise and everybody's got an idea how they could fix that kid. And everyone with a grandmother or a grandfather instinct says, I can handle that. I know how to take care of babies. What's the matter with that mother? You know? But you sure don't want to get on an airplane with somebody that's going to give birth because it's going to really disrupt the flight. And that's what some people see that, you know, this Jesus thing that keeps coming up is just sort of a disruption. And then there's some people that don't really have anything against it, don't really have anything for it, but they have some compassion and they see somebody. And there's a lot of people do a lot of good things just because they're good people, but they don't know Jesus. Now that innkeeper didn't say, oh yes, come in, you're having the child of God. No, he said, I got a place back in the back. You can stay there if you want to. And there are people like the shepherds, they're just out minding their own business, you know. Maybe they're waiting for an angelic visitation. There are some people like that that say, you know, yeah, if God really did something big for me, maybe I'd believe. I mean, shepherds weren't high up on the echelon of people. And so God said, I think they might listen. And the angels came and sang to them, and they went to see. And there are others that literally have been searching. Star of wonders, star with might, star with royal beauty by it. I remember as a little kid, I can almost, we say, oh, star of wonder. You know, I mean, we had the choir going, man, singing it boisterously with no idea what we were singing. Lead us to that perfect light. I mean, what sense does that make to a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old unless they've been told since they were 3 years old that that light is Jesus? But there are people that are searching and they're looking for the promise of the Father. And guess what? We contain that gift in earthen vessels. But we have to turn on the light. We have to keep at it. We have to keep reminding ourselves. We have to keep stirring those gifts up within us. We have to keep at it. You know, I had just finished writing about compassion. I hadn't finished the devotion yet when Mom called. Oh, you know, Lord forgive me. I'm not sure I had as much compassion as I should have. I just said, just go. I've done that about 3 times with that garage door. Just go ahead and go, Mom. I'll take care of it. Please go. Please go quickly. You know, to have compassion, everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy flow to me and flow through me. Jesus. But we got to keep at it. You see, because if we don't keep at it, why should anyone else? If we don't have confidence, if we don't have hope when it seems hopeless, if we don't have assurance when it seems as though there's no insurance, if we don't have the joy of the Lord as our strength, how will anyone else determine that God is everything that God is supposed to be? We, by Jesus' description, are to be lights shining in the darkness. Confident, you know. America can't go under. God loves us. We have the least persecution of Christians of anywhere in the world. The enemy hates that and is doing his best to try to destroy that. And so there are people out there that are like the king that just wanted to find him to kill him. There's people out there just wanting to kill your faith. Just wanting to publish something that will cause you to doubt. Just wanting to get you to agree that God can't help America. Just wanting to get you to agree we're going down. We're going down. Get in the bunker. We're going down. When Jesus says we should be standing on a mountaintop like a lightning rod, taking on all those powers. Forrest Gump, when Lieutenant Dan is up there in the swing saying, "Come on, God, is that all you got?" And he lived through the storm, and at the end, Forrest Gump says, "You know, I think Lieutenant Dan and God came to know each other or had an agreement," or whatever the case might be, you know. God is so good. There is none so blind as he who will not see. And I'll grant you that oftentimes when people are different, people have disabilities like that, people cross the street to stay away from them. But I think that's more because they don't know what to do or what to say. You know? I can tell you that in raising Michael, that it's not too hard to tell when people are comfortable with him and uncomfortable with him. It's not too hard to tell if people just think it would be better if he wasn't around, and when other people who have compassion look at him and say, "Oh, bless him." I'll guarantee you that I'm a whole different person around people with disabilities because I've raised a child that way. Vicki was up at Jerry's Christmas concert, and there was a little girl, and Vicki, you know, because of her compassion, she just complimented that little girl, and that little girl was so excited, and the mother just, thank you. Because it meant something to her that somebody understood, and not pity, but compassion. People who don't know Jesus should be pitied, but compassionately. Because it's been given to us to understand. We understand Christmas. We understand the birth of the Christ child. We understand that there's a song that Rascal Flatts sang. I've heard it twice now, but it said, what a strange way to save the world. To send a baby to save the world. That baby came into the world to save you and me. And so we, above all people, should have compassion and a determination to know and to experience all that God, that we continue in His blessings, that we continue with confidence in His ability to overcome, that we continue in those things so that others have the opportunity to see how wonderful it is. You know? I mean, Bob, you do that powder coating and you make things that are ugly look pretty, and you take those things that look pretty and show them to people that these are pretty things now. And people go, wow, you can do that. Well, let's be honest. Without Christ, we were all pretty ugly. But He's made us into a pretty thing that we can show to the world. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He touched my body, He healed my mind, He saved me just in time, and I'm gonna praise His name. Yeah. I'm gonna praise His name. I'm gonna keep at it, and keep at it, and keep at it. And when the curtain comes down and I can't see, I'm gonna wait until the curtain opens. I'm going to know that God is going to give me the eyes to see and the ears to hear and the heart to understand. There's more. That's the thing, folks. There's more. And the more is for one person, one purpose, and that more is to reveal that to the world. To reveal. Think about this. When Jesus came, and when He walked this earth, did He reveal a God that was an amazing God? Or did He reveal a so-so God? Everything He did revealed an amazing God. He spoke words and it burned in people's hearts. He raised the dead. He made blind eyes to see. There were no little things that He did. He calmed storms. He walked on water. Because He was revealing the big things of the kingdom of God. And He said, now, as I was sent into this world, so I send you. You see, I think that as Christians, we need to expand our thinking. So that we are confident to reveal the big God to the world. He's not a little God that can be contained in a building or in a denomination or whatever the case might be. He's a God that wants to manifest His presence everywhere. He wants everyone to experience His greatness and His love and His compassion and His power. That's what Jesus came revealing, and He said, now you go and do the same. He was born in a manger, but He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. He's a mighty God, an awesome God, an abundant God. And this is the God that we must know and that we must show. It was no small thing that angels announced Him. It was no small thing that angels had Joseph and Mary leave. But why did God let that king kill all of those children? Because people can be as ugly and as mean as they want to. But we can't. Because we, like Jesus, are the express image of the Father. It's in there. It's in us. It's stirring in us. It stirs in us, and we sometimes think, yeah, and then we think, ooh. Let's stick with yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. It is about Christmas. But there's a difference in saying Merry Christmas and saying, it's Christmas, stupid! You know, let's face it, that's kind of the attitude that some have. Hey, it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Father, pour into us, Holy Spirit, the truth, the way, the life. Renew us, restore us, refresh us. And then cause us to go as we keep at this walk of faith, revealing that we're headed to a place. The Bible said Abraham was headed to a place whose builder and maker was God. And as he went, he continued in the blessings. He didn't give up when his nephew was robbed, stolen, taken away. He didn't give up. He went and got him. He had the child of promise. So it is with us. The child of promise dwells in us richly. Let this confidence, this hope, this assurance just make us lights that shine in the darkness. We would be blind if we didn't continue in it. But we have eyes to see. So thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.